man. It's time. We're back. It's time for the news. No, it's Fans of Patrol time. I am the host of Fans of Patrol. My name is Montego. With me is my curious co-host, Miss Tifflebot. How are you, curious co-host, this week?
Good. I want to give out, you know, usually we don't do this at the top because why would we?
Yeah.
But I want to let you know that this is about to be a somewhat horny episode.
Oh.
Of Fans on Patrol.
Oh, I did not realize this myself. But
it was a surprise for everybody. Just so you know, if you have children around. No, it's not going to be that bad. But I realized that, like, as I was thinking about what I was going to say about a lot of stuff today, I was like, well, I'm going to say that. And I'm like, well, that's pretty horny.
Wow, Jeff. Well, I can rest assured. With that that mouth of yours, I'm sure people don't listen to it with kids anyway. You know.
Fair. You know, that's pretty fucking rude, actually.
It's the truth. It's the you just proved my point. Just like.
I just choked on my own spit because I didn't even realize that I had done that until you pointed it out. But that's pretty cool. Let's
shoot.
Just continue with the show.
Indeed.
So I want to let you warn you all.
Okay, so this week, man, we got a dynamite one for you, man. We got like old school, middle of the summer type of stuff going on. So we got some news, man. So we love Nick Cage and he's back on the show. So we got some news to talk. He actually is making some news that's, you know, a little interesting. And we got some vampire news, man. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. We went to Disney Plus and we watched the first episode of What If. So we have our one shot of Captain Peggy Carter. So we're going to do that. And the big one for the day is absolutely 100% Suicide Squad. What is the name of that movie? Is it Suicide
the
Squad 2?
Suicide Squad.
It's the Suicide Squad. Mm-hmm. Let's call it James Gunn's Suicide Squad.
That's a good idea. See, that's much smarter.
Yeah.
But, you know, once again, Hollywood has failed to consult us for our brilliant ideas. And here we are. You know what? Fuck you. We're going to start putting these. I'll censor that out. What happened is a beep. And then you can fucking pay a dollar to hear the rest of that shit.
You're right. But patent and copyright. So, Tiff, I think that's it for today. Saying all that, are you ready to roll?
Yes.
Let's go. All right, we're back. It's time for social media. Tiffus, hit us with your bestest shot.
Tiffus, hit us. I'm sorry. I feel like a social media wizard. For everything Fans on Patrol, go to our main website. That is fansonpatrol.com. And then you can comment to us on our socials, which is Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Fans on Patrol. Subscribe to our YouTube. And also, please check out our Patreon if you can. And continue to listen to us on your favorite listening platform.
Indeed. And shout out to Justin Cheffy, I sure hope I'm saying that right. Our newest Patreon subscriber. Welcome aboard, my friend. And because we got somebody else, we're churning out content. He joined the day before The Quiet Place came out. So thank you for your donation and your gift. And thank you.
He was like, I got to hear about this Quiet Place shit.
Right.
I cannot wait. I know that Tiffany's going to love it.
Well, you know.
And then he got on there and he was like, fuck, how do I take this money back?
Nope. It's a great show. Got a lot of positive feedback.
For some of us, wasn't so positive.
Well, this week we're doing what? Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3?
Oh. Yes.
So tune in to that for that this week. God.
Yes.
Oh, God. Anyway, man, let's get it started. Tifflebot, these are your notes. Take it away.
Okay, so we have kind of a a love affair with Nicolas Cage, I would say, on the show.
Accurate.
You know.
Accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we kind of, even if we don't always talk about his projects, which we've, you know, there's been a couple in the past few years that we're talking about. We did talk about Willy's Wonderland.
which I liked and you didn't.
It just could have been so much better. Okay. We like to talk about, like, we're paying attention to what he's doing, basically. And so he has this new movie coming out that people are, it's getting a lot of buzz, and it's called The, can you hold on?
You don't remember?
No, I was trying to open the link and it wouldn't work, so I was like, stall.
Prisoners of the Ghostland.
Yes, Prisoners of the Ghostland.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you take that shit out where I sound like a dumb shit, right?
Oh, no. Well, let's just keep rolling. It's beautiful.
You know what? Fuck you. I'm going to ruin this whole show.
It's beautiful.
See, there you go. What do you think about that? So in this movie, it is by it's a well-known director. I'm not sure I would say famous, because if you walked up to on the streets of someone and mentioned his name, I don't think people would be like, oh, yeah, that guy. Right? His name is Sion Sono.
Well, the first thing that got me, Tiff, is that it says the official selection of Sundance Film Festival. So I was like, what? Cage? Is
it a movie? Yeah, like it's been, you know, and he's been getting a lot of accolades lately for, like, there's that one called, is it Pig?
Yeah. Is that supposed to be good or something like that?
Yeah, it's a John Wickish pig thing. But, like, also people say, don't say that because it's almost better is what I've heard.
Really?
I really want to watch it.
I'm going to have to look into this Tipplebot. I don't know.
But this movie has a lot of other great, like, okay, so here's, we should have a sound to alert you all that horniness is coming. Are you ready?
Oh my goodness. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Sophia Boutella is in this movie.
Indeed she is.
Oh, she looks so good.
Oh, that's my girl. I ain't seen her since the crummy mummy.
I know, they're like, they rolled her in dirt and I was like, that's not gonna cut it.
Yeah. She's still hot. She's hot.
With a bag over her head.
Now she's a female mud wrestler, so.
We are trying to watch a movie and you want us to not be distracted by her?
Yeah, she's pretty hot with her hair in front of her face, with her hair behind her face.
And... yeah, I fucking love her. And I think we've always talked about that, even in The Mummy, where we were like, well, I mean, this movie sucks, but.
At least she was hot.
So this Prisoner of Ghostland, we watched the trailer, obviously. It's about a mob boss who hires Nicolas Cage's character to retrieve his daughter, Sophia Boutella, from, I don't know.
Yeah, and it looks like Cage was in jail. And
it's a Suicide Squad situation.
Yeah, and, you know, they're in a foreign land, you know, not, it looks like some kind of,
I think it's Japan.
It looks like some hyped up version of Japan, though. Like,
or potentially, I wonder if, we never know, where this might be in the future, where, like, all cultures are, like, everywhere. So,
it's definitely in the future. It's, I don't
right.
think it's
kind of like Blade Runner.
Yeah.
Where, like, yep. It's not like, oh, Japan is sequestered to this one, to Japan, you know, like, it's not like, it's just that the world is the world now.
Yeah, I agree.
100%. I'm not explaining this in a really good way, but I think you all know what I mean.
I think you hit the nail on the head, and that was one of the things that was interesting to me, because at first, you know, the article that came along with this trailer said Nicolas Cage is in the wildest movie of his career, which he may have said and he may not have said. It's just shit like that kills me. It's just like hype stuff. But when I saw it, you know, of course they got bombs attached to his appendages, his neck and his balls, right? And if he doesn't...
No, I think it's his arms and his arms, his legs and his balls.
Right, and if he doesn't rescue the girl within a certain amount of time, he blows up no matter what. He can't prevent it. And so, it looks high octane, but what really got me about this trailer is that all the extras in the background seems to... They're involved, right? There's a lot of color and stuff, but they almost seem to be spectators.
Yeah, they're paying to watch this or something.
Like The Running Man or something like that.
Yeah.
You know? So it's very interesting. I think so. And so I'm interested in this 100%, Tiff. I mean, I'll take it, and I would like to see this. And it'll probably come out really soon because, you know, these things, we don't have this will be out next year anymore type of movies, right? You know, everything comes out.
Yeah, I think fast. Like especially these days, we've been getting trailers, and they're like coming out in 3 weeks.
Yeah. Which is, I like shit. You know, this all this build up, and then a movie is crummy.
But also, just like I kind of always have wondered why they start hyping stuff so early, because I forget about stuff sometimes. I if I had seen this trailer, probably I probably wouldn't forget this trailer. But there have been trailers where I'm like, well, that seems interesting, but they showed me it 2 years ago.
Yeah,
and I don't remember.
Yeah, perfect example of how this works great is movies like Nobody and Gunpowder Milkshake showed us a trailer. About 2 weeks later, we had a movie, and we watched them and we loved them. Perfect. And I didn't get overhyped, you know, looking at trailers on TV and everything for 6 months before the damn thing comes out. The whole marketing thing, I think, is changing. And I think it's for the better, Tipplebot. So there we go.
I agree. I like it better this way.
Yeah.
I don't need to know everything. I want you to intrigue me, not like show me.
Yeah.
Like, don't tell me your story. I want previews used to mean a preview.
Yeah. Just enough to get you in the masses and the chairs. No.
Well, okay. To be fair, some previews in like the 80s and 90s were just the whole movie.
In a world where a man takes off his leg and climbs Mount Everest and runs into Batman and swings off the top and saves the girl and everything is fine, we have our hero. And you're like, what the hell?
It's like 3 minutes long. You're like, I watched the whole movie.
That's true. That's true.
But still, I just like something that teases, this is going to say horny, put on the...
Oh, shit.
teases me, right? That sounds really horny.
Yeah.
What the fuck? This is gross.
No, it's not.
Someone, just turn it off.
So...
if you're listening to this, just turn it off.
Don't you dare. God damn it. Now that I might cut out. Get out of here.
I'll show you, you stupid bitch.
So you're into this.
Oh, 100%. I would watch this today. It says September 17th. How am I going to wait that long?
Oh, I thought it said September 2nd. Okay, I wasn't paying attention.
1/7. Okay. September 1/7.
Okay, that's me mama's birthday. That's me mom's birthday. So anyway.
You can say happy birthday, mom. We can watch this movie together.
Man, what is this, baby? I don't want to watch this.
Oh my God, would your mom really say that?
Yeah, she would want to watch this.
My mom would want to watch this. No, okay.
My mom likes superhero. She likes the superhero stuff, and she watched...
Oh, right. Your mom read comics.
Yeah, she read. Yeah, she's the one that introduced me into comics, but what she watched, what she really watches is old, boring cop shit all day long, you know. Just,
oh, sure, sure.
Yeah, just all Matt,
like,
day.
Like, what do you mean? Like a Matlock or like an NYPD?
Well, she watched NYPD. She watches Matlock. She watches... you know what she watches the most? Walker, Texas goddamn Ranger. Oh, you know, I go to the house, I'd be like, oh God, someone save me.
No, I don't like that. Okay, I thought you were going to say Murder, She Wrote, and I was about to say, hell yeah. But then I had to scale that back because you said the other thing that I don't like, the Walker, Texas Ranger, which is the new one or the old one?
The new one. I mean, the old one, of course.
Well, I'm sorry, but there's a new one.
Yeah, she watches USA Network all damn day. Okay, there you go. So okay, let's stop talking about my mom, boring the audience. So. Anyway.
Fuck. I think that people would say that was very interesting.
Let's change the subject for something great.
Fuck you.
Uh-huh.
So FX's What We Do in the Shadows, which Montego and I both love.
And the world is now a better place, and I'm full with glee.
their third season is coming. And it's coming pretty quickly.
September 2nd. Right? That's the September 2nd.
That's the one. I was like, where did you get that?
Yeah.
But when you watch this, I would say, I want to know, before I say anything, I want to know how you feel about this trailer.
Okay. First of all, I'm Johnny coming to lately to this film, this movie, this show, right? I just saw the movie this year. I saw the first, what was it? Two seasons all at the same time, like within a year. And I fell in love with it. You know, the movie, the TV show. Right now, I can do no wrong. I love it. And so when I saw this, it was more of the same. And that ain't nothing wrong with that. I was like, yes. When Colin was on fire, when they complaining about who's going to get the seat. It's the dude about to burn up in church because he said in the name of Jesus. Oh my God, I love this show.
Yeah.
I love this show. It is so whimsical. It's so full of glee. There is not a character on the show, even the guest stars who you don't like. I've never sat there and be like, oh, I don't know about this one. Guillermo is running around being a vampire slayer.
Oh, I fucking love Guillermo.
I forgot all about he was a vampire slayer. He still want to be a vampire. Oh, I love the show.
Can
I love
tell
it.
You I
love
that it. I was trying to hold back a laugh and I'm crying because I was thinking of that time that he gives Guillermo that pillow and then he drops it and he's like, we're not going back.
He says what?
He gives him that pillow, and then they picks him up and flies him home, and Guillermo drops the pillow, and he says, we're not going back.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like, so that, bringing up that joke, which I know telling another person's joke is, you know, Wanktown, USA, I get it.
Yeah.
But I want to bring that up to say that when you watch this trailer for the third season, like potentially maybe if you've never seen the show before, I'm not sure you would like it very much because there's a lot of subtlety that you're like, oh, that's Nandor being Nandor, or like, right?
I don't know, so though, Tiff. They hit you pretty hard right from the first season, but you feel like you're catching up the way it's written. You know, from the
no,
from
but
the
I mean,
beginning.
Like, if you just come in cold on this trailer.
Oh, on a trailer?
Because I feel like I was excited when I watched it and I loved the trailer. But when I've watched it a couple times now and I'm like, oh, I wonder if I like this trailer because I know the show's going to be good.
I don't know.
And Tiff, I already like it.
I don't, Tiff, it seems so, putting myself in those shoes, it seems like a riot. It's just so much goofy stuff going on. It would attract me I would be like, well, man, it looked kind of goofy, man. You know, it was some shit that was even funny from what you're saying, like when Colin cat on fire and he's just walking away like it's cool and shit. And I'm like, I don't know, man. If you haven't watched this, jump aboard. And I don't even like comedies. People who listen to this show know that. And this show cracks me the hell up from the one scene to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. It gives and it keeps on giving. I was so sad when I ran, when season two was over with. I was like, oh no, there's no more. You know, I tell you what I probably will do. And this is how much I do like it now. And this is, I know this is Loserville. I've been buying shows that I watch on Apple because I'm so sick of, like, I watched What We Do in the Shadows on Hulu, and I have commercials. And it took so long to get through it, you know, and so I'm not doing that
Montego,
shit no more.
It's like $3 extra a month for commercials. You bought all that shit. You could have just bought a year's worth of commercial-free Hulu.
Well, I wasn't presented with that. I bought the Disney bundle and it included Hulu, and I didn't. And I don't watch Hulu. That's the only thing I think I've ever watched on Hulu is What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh, I watch Hulu probably more than any other platform.
Okay, so yeah, that's not one of my favorites.
I cannot abide commercials. I pay for YouTube Premium because I won't watch a commercial.
Tiff, I pay for YouTube Premium too because the goddamn commercials.
Yeah, they're so bad. I hate them.
Yeah, me too.
You would think that advertisers would get wise to this shit.
Well, they have. That's why they offer a premium, you know?
Well, yeah, but none of that money goes back to advertisers. Yeah. Like, if I'm Cheez-Its I want to fucking tempt you with some Cheez-Its while you're watching some dumbass play a fucking Let's Play.
Hey, but Tiff, it's nothing that it's nothing that Cheez-Its can do to interfere with that, like that premium service.
Right, right. You know? What I'm saying is I'm surprised, and there probably is other things happening that I don't even know because it's so insidious, but I'm just surprised that the advertising agencies haven't figured out a way to be like, well,
we're going to F them anyway, even if they pay.
Here's another reason. Here's another thing that you can do. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, all I know is I can't wait till September 2nd so I can sit there and watch the first one.
Will I wait until October to watch them?
Well, when you got some in the bag?
Well, I just like to have like October themed items to enjoy in October.
Oh, interesting. You know, okay. Yeah, speaking of that, yesterday was Friday the 13th. It was significant for two big reasons. We were going to watch Trump get reinstated. Something happened. It didn't happen, but I don't know what happened. And I watched Friday the 13th. It lullabied me to the sleep last night. I woke up in the middle of the night with some teenagers getting stabbed in the bed and stuff like that. I was like, I forgot this was all. Let me turn this masochism off.
Not while I'm trying to sleep.
I woke up like, oh shit. But no, I just watched it because it was Friday the 13th. But so, you know, I got probably halfway through it. I woke up to a bunch of killing in the middle of the night. And was like, oh shit, okay, let me turn this off.
This is not the same, but I have fallen asleep during Titanic.
Oh God, okay.
And woke up as the boat was sinking and just being very fucking disoriented.
No! Let's keep playing, gents, you know, Rose, all this shit.
Because there's just so many people screaming at a certain point in that movie that you wake up and you're like, who's dying where? And then you're like, oh, I'm just an idiot and a loser. Oh, and I fell asleep watching Titanic.
Yeah. Oof. I've seen that movie once in the theaters. I never had to see it again. Anyway.
Well, so. I'm assuming that when you saw it in theaters, you weren't like a 10 to 13 year old girl.
No, I was a grown damn man. You know,
I don't think it made quite the same impression on you.
No, of course not. No,
as it did to some of us. Okay,
you know, right? Actually, that movie was so long, and it was so much love in it. I remember
it was so long, and there was so much love in it.
Yeah, I remember.
Holy shit! I think you maybe mean romance.
Yeah, it was so funny when the guy was like dying and stuff. And all these women in the theater was just and I'm like, I literally started looking around like, what? Are y'all kidding me with this? I mean, the theater erupted in just tears. And I just couldn't believe that. Cause I was just like, hurry up and get this shit over with.
I've been in situations like that before. So I get what you're saying. That being said, I want to talk about the most disappointing part of Titanic. And that is when that fucking old raisin fucking shuffles out onto the boat and deck and throws that fucking necklace overboard.
Ooh, bitch. You old bitch.
Like, okay, first and foremost, I understand. She was like, well, I don't want my memories of my fucking good booty being fucking tainted by letting this artifact go into some kind of fucking museum or save an entire village of people.
Save a few villages.
No, I'm gonna better. And the thing about it is, it had nothing to do with her relationship with Jack because it came from that dill hole.
Yeah. Billy Zane. Yeah.
Give the man who's been searching his whole life for it, give it to him.
Yeah, she just.
You are a. That's, you know what? That's the scariest horror movie of all time.
I know.
She's a fucking ghost. She's a goblin. What are we even fucking talking about?
Well, you brought up Titanic, so we'll get back on track.
I know, but what were we talking about?
I don't know. You brought up Titanic. I brought
there was
that up.
Hulu and commercials.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, anyway, it's over.
Welcome to Fans of Patrol today. This is the new us. So anyway.
I know, this is fucking terrible. Start it over again.
Let's get back on track. Anyway, man, that's it, Tiff. Break time. So we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back with Disney Plus's Marvel's What If, man. We'll be right back. It's What If time. This is our one shot, man. If this is your first time listening to this show, we have different segments in our middle segment. We haven't done it's not what you're watching. It's one shot. We haven't did this one of these in a while. So we'll take a TV show somewhere, maybe in the middle, beginning or end. Recently, we've been kind of doing the beginning and then like doing a revisit, a double tap. And so this week we're doing What If, the very first episode aired this week. And so the title of this one, What If Captain Carter was the first Avenger? So, you know, it has all the Marvel authentic actors in it, you know, for the voices, except for I'm not sure if Steve Rogers was voiced by... what's his name? But I know that was Haley Atwell with her fine ass. Samuel Jackson was in this. Jeffrey Wright is the voice of the Watcher, you know, and he's cool as hell. You know, who doesn't like Jeffrey Wright? So let's get this started, man. Before we go all the way, it's time for one. One word.
You want me to go first?
Yes. Tibbawatt, one word. What you got?
Sexy.
Sexy. Wow.
And we'll tell you why.
Explain.
Not because I necessarily think it's sexy, although Peggy Carter does look really sexy.
Oh, she's so hot.
I mean, like, that's part of it. Like, she looks great. And also, I like that they made her, like, a big lady.
Haley Atwell. You know, she's dating Tom Cruise now. Damn it.
That's gross. go on. Yeah, but there's some specific things I want to talk about what may or may not make this sexy later in the episode.
Okay. So my one word is I was really trying not to say average. I was trying not to say okay. But the only thing I can really muster up with is okay.
I think that's a fair assessment of what was happening.
It was okay. I'm going to say that because I thought the animation was great. I had no problem with that.
I actually liked the animation. Yeah.
I thought the action, the way that the action was directed, everything was great. I just thought the story, you know what? I'm going to change I'm going to change it right now to predictable. As soon as you knew it was Captain Carter, the only thing that surprised me was the Iron Man suit, which I thought was the coolest shit in the whole thing. But other than that, the Iron Man suit, whatever they called it, the Hydra Smasher, other than that, it was highly predictable. And it was just like, oh, okay, I hope these get better. I hope they really blow your mind like the old comic books used to, because this didn't blow my mind. It was just like, okay. And from the beginning to the end, you know, and it was like, oh, okay. Yeah. So
it's like, for me, though, it's a little bit less like that because I know about this stuff and I've watched the movie. But I don't know as much about Peggy Carter and stuff as probably other people do, because I know she had that show. I did not watch it.
Yeah, I watched it. It was good. It was good, but it got canceled. But
Whatever. That's what I've, yeah, that's what I've heard. So I mean, that's like some stuff I, and plus I don't know the comic book mythos of most of it, blah, 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 blah. So for me watching it wasn't like, just wasn't like, well, I feel like this is old, you know, scratch or whatever. It's the same stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I also, when I was watching it, wasn't like, I'm having a really good time. I didn't have a bad time. No. You know what I mean? I wasn't like, I want to turn this off. But I was like, you know.
Okay. I'm on the same page with you. I did not have a bad time. I did not have a bad time. But it was just like, oh, y'all ain't going to do nothing really razzly dazzly. You know, so, I mean, even for, let's hit some spoilers.
Well, some of the fights are cool.
The fights were cool, but, you know, the recycling of the same exact scenes, even the way they were shot. Kind of bother me, because it was like, wow, you guys are not even doing storyboards. You're just getting old footage like George Lucas, you know, from all the old World War II stuff he used to get. And you're just doing exactly the way it was shot in the original first Avenger movie. And so it was kind of like, you did that on purpose because you want to, you know, have it have the same feel as the first Avenger, but, you know, you got this different character in it. And so, yeah. You know, that's kind of the things I didn't like about it, but I was not bored watching this. I, you know, and plus it's short, you know, something like what, 20
minutes? It's like 25 minutes, maybe 20. Right.
So let's get to the beginning of this thing. So, you know, the big twist happens, you know, the Watcher is explaining that, you know, one choice, you know, makes it different. She made a choice to stay on the floor instead of going into the rafters with everybody else. And because she was on the floor, she was able to see that Hydra agent killed him. The general got killed, and Steve got shot, who I thought was going to die. And then she jumps into the thing and she comes out being the biggest goddamn woman you ever seen in the history of man.
Yeah, she's a tall lady.
She's a bit more than tall, Tiff.
She's buff.
Big time.
And you guys, fuck it. Fuck all of you who are at home being pieces of shit about it, because she looks great.
She was a big one, boy.
I
had to work myself up for this one.
It is good that she is big, because that makes sense. If she went in there and she came out the same size, that would be really bullshitty.
Well, which makes you say that it was a mistake to do Steve Rogers, because he ended up being the size of a regular dude, just buff. Just imagine if they would have put a big fella in there.
But that also is kind of interesting, even if you are whatever, because like, it adds an interesting mythos to that particular thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, theoretically, if you put a big giant person in there, they'd become humongous.
What I did like about this is that they still treated her like a sexist piece of shit, you know, pretty much the whole
time. I would have liked to have seen her punch him in the head.
Yeah, but you know what? It was the 40s, and so just because she was a super soldier wasn't going to change shit. And I was like, wow, it wouldn't change shit. You know, the guy was so disappointed. I know the actor. I couldn't think of, I think it was it Josh Keaton? I'm not sure. Anyway, you know, he was awful to her, you know, but I kind of like how Howard Stark was right there, because he was, which made sense, because Howard was more friendly with, you know, Peggy Carter. You know, they had a relationship, not a romantic relationship, but a relationship, and they jumped right into doing stuff. And I thought that was cool. Ooh. I like that. Go ahead.
Nerd alert.
I'm just saying, you know, you watch the movie and, you know, why don't we go fondue? You know, it's like they were going to screw. We're talking about eating fondue. It was so stupid. Anyway, so she springs into action, Tifflebot, and she is beating ass. And I think this is the best part of the whole thing, because it looks so good with her throwing that shield and just beating ass. What about you?
Yeah, I loved. So there's like, so she comes in and she, like, I think the action scenes are, so because sometimes when you watch like animated, but I mean, I apologize, because like, I'm about to say something that probably sounds really ignorant to people who watch a lot of action anime or any kind of animation. But these fight scenes are done really, really well.
Yes, they are.
Yes, and they look cool.
Yeah, they do.
Like, I was like, so there's the one where like she breaks all the propellers off.
Yeah, she's flying through the air.
That was cool. And I was like, when I was watching this, I was like, that's, I get behind that, right?
Yeah, you didn't even see Cap doing that, you know? So I like that they didn't just have her doing the same stunts that he was doing, you know?
Now.
Yes.
There's something we need to talk about.
What's that?
I told you this show was going to be horny. Okay. It's not necessarily about me, about my horniness, but I, part of some, okay. So I'm watching this movie, right? Mm-hmm. And she still has romantic.
Which was the coolest thing about the whole show. Go ahead.
Now stop yourself. It was
so cool that she was attracted Steve, you know, whether if he's little Steve or big Steve. And
okay, let's, first of all, I want to put a pin in that right now, because.
You don't buy it.
No, it's not that. It's not like, I also appreciate that because it makes sense. But like, it's kind of given off in a way that like, oh, unattractive or strange looking men or whatever, rarely get the woman. Bullshit.
Yeah, well,
many ugly men fuck, they punch above their weight like nobody's business.
That's true.
But what I was gonna say this is that there's a Venn diagram here that probably people who are listening to the show don't realize is occurring, and here it is. People who watch animation, okay,
uh-huh,
and people who are kinky,
uh-huh.
There's a fucking pretty high Venn diagram overlap, okay? And what I'm saying is there is this thing where men or whoever, women, people,
gotcha,
fantasize,
uh-huh,
about giant women.
You got your wish on this one.
Okay, so this, I fucking see this because she is big, right?
She's a big bitch.
He is small.
He's a tiny man. He's a tiny pipsqueak.
That this will go down in history, one, as something that people in that community were like,
they're thinking about us.
Holy shit, I got a boner. That's what they're gonna be saying. And then people who like are younger now, and they're like, I don't know, like they'll be in therapy.
Yeah,
45 in therapy. And, you know, Dr. Stevenson's going to say, and why do you want to be swallowed by the giant woman? And then they'll say, I don't know.
Oh, shit.
I don't know.
Oh, boy. I'm speechless. So,
you know what? Get on the internet. I don't know what the rest of you people are doing, I'm but speechless. Spend some time on the internet.
All right. I'm speechless.
And this is, also, I would like to take this moment to explain to everybody listening that that is no shame. No shame.
Okay.
To all those people who enjoy it, I'm just saying that it might be something you enjoy. Oh, is this episode? Is this episode of Disney Plus's What If? Please tune in. Please tune in.
We got the Red Skull. We got the Tesseract. You know, everything happens, bim, bam, bam. And she saves the day, and Steve survives the whole thing. The big robot was cool, and you know, having Bucky in it, all that stuff was cool.
Please just pause this shit. Oh my God, I am dying.
Okay, all right.
I'm sorry.
All right.
You might want to take that whole fucking thing out. Oh, just no, take it.
It's all good. So anyway,
I'm trying to calm down. Wait, what do you mean?
So there we go, back on the scene here. So anyway, man, I want to see more, and I hope that with the future episodes of this stuff that they take it a little further. You know, not just one thing, and then you got another character standing in the boots of another character, and that's the only thing that's different. You know.
Okay.
Really go on with it. Go for it.
Have you ever read any? You've read What Ifs before?
Oh yeah. And they were like most of the time vastly different. You know, it's like
So like, what if? So what if someone else became Spider-Man?
Right. But those are like the bottom barrel ones. You know, they're like what if?
But what if somebody died? Right.
Yeah.
What if was it? What Wolverine killed the Hulk?
Yeah, what if Professor Xavier, you know, what if Magneto, you know, founded the X-Men and stuff?
Well, there's one where they're like, what if they founded the X-Men together?
There is one like that. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, that there's exact. Honestly, I will say that the most, what this show really made me want to do is, and I think honestly, if I'm going to be honest about it, it was probably a good place for them to start because everyone is kind of familiar with this. They also kind of like her. It's a nice ease in. So I would like to see this one just be the softest one and the rest of them kind of be a little bit more.
That's my point.
In depth.
Yes,
but
my point.
It did make me want to go buy, because I read What If comics a long time ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Like probably in the early 2000s.
Yeah, yeah. It was a long time ago for me too. And it's like, yeah, I remember them and they were kind of cool. They had no continuity, you know, just one shots and stuff. And so, which made it even better for me that, you know, you told the story and you got out of it, you know? So, you know, it's fine. But I wasn't overly excited about this episode. So,
but you're going to watch all of them.
Of course. Gotta see where this thing goes. And there is a slight continuity with this because, you know, this is the Watcher is telling a story, you know, so it may culminate into something else. You don't know.
Yeah, for sure. And then I think, like, because of how much, stuff that there is in the whole, like, even you don't have to do ones that have already been books. You can do, and there's just so much you can do. And if you have a really good, talented writer, they would probably take you. Because, like, obviously, these were kind of born of a very common thing that happens in the comic book community where you would be like, well, what? Because people did you say, like, well, what if this and this? You know what I mean? Like, that's a common, like, comic book conversation.
Yeah.
So, like, if you have a very talented writer, they might take it to a place where, like, you didn't even think of.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is great. That's what I want. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Yep. So that's it, man. We're going to take a final break and we're going to come back with the big daddy of the day, the Suicide Squad. Hold on to your hats. Be right back.
Cheeks.
Boom. Just like that, we're back. It's time to do the big daddy, the big one we've been waiting on. I am very surprised that The Suicide Squad was released in August, you know, but I guess hot movie times don't exist anymore because of the times that we live in. So we're doing The Suicide Squad, you guys, 2021, rated R for real. 2 hours and 12 minutes, action-adventure comedy. Super villains Harley Quinn, Bloodsport, Peacemaker, and a collection of nutty cons at Belrive Prison join a super secret, super shady Task Force X as they are dropped off on a remote enemy-infused island of Corto Maltese. Believe it or not, that is the damn synopsis. Wow. Directed by James Gunn, written by James Gunn, starring Margot Robbie, Idris Elba, John Cena, Joel Kinnaman.
By the way, wow.
Yeah.
We'll get it.
Michael Rooker, Viola Davis, Nathan Fillion, Ja Courtney, all these people, Pete Davidson. Sean Gunn was in this movie. I bet you don't even know who he was. Tanisha, what's her name? Tanisha Kensei, Jinjanchi, whatever her name is. Okay. And that's about one of those actually more people. So many people in this movie and so many people's screen time was so limited. But that is what happens on The Suicide Squad. Let's get into it. Before we go any further, man, it is absolutely time for word. 2021, The Suicide Squad, Tiffle Bob, where are you at?
Okay, my one word is correct.
Oh, and what meaning it corrected the last Suicide Squad?
Yes.
Ah, my one word is magnifico. I adore this movie. I watched it yesterday and I absolutely adore this movie. I adore it for a number of reasons, which you're getting into, but one I'll just name off the bat, I love the cartooniness of it.
Yes, that's what it's fun.
Yes, it's so much fun, and there was so much ridiculous shit in this movie. However, the actors are so good and were able to keep a straight face and to sell this stuff that you bought everything, no matter how ridiculous it was. And it was just great. And the gratuitous violence, my one word was almost gratuitous, but I left it alone. And so much violence, and it just, the infusion of violence and ridiculousness is perfect, you know, along with the comedy. I mean, what else could you ask for? So, man, let's hit those spoilers so we can get into this thing, and let's blow your mind with the original and how it starts. You know, I don't really feel bad, but David Ayer, you know, who directed the first Suicide Squad, he put out a press release not too long ago saying this would be the last time he talked about this, but, you know, because he was talking about the Zack Snyder cut, who was an executive producer for this movie, you know, he wished his movie would get that treatment because he hates the movie because it wasn't the movie that he put out. He said the movie was edited so bad by executives at Warner Brothers that it was terrible. And, you know, all the campy music that they, you know, and all the side stories they added, it wasn't his movie. And so it's kind of messed up because David Ayer is no bad director, but that was a bad movie. And you realize how bad the first Suicide Squad movie is when you see this one. What do you think about that, Tiff?
Yeah, like this one, I mean, I kind of remember thinking it wasn't that great, but I had fun kind of watching it, right?
Yep, we did.
Like, there's like fun parts of the first one, yeah. But yeah, this one's just so much more well done, or like, I guess, more to the point of what they're looking for.
Yeah, the first one, and I'm not going to stay on this any too much longer, but the first one, the comparison was other DC properties like Batman v Superman. So compared to that, it was like, okay. You know, it did. Now you see this and you're like, no, it wasn't okay. It was absolutely horrible. This is what we wanted to begin with. So let's get it rolling, man. So they started off immediately. And what I like about this movie is that they didn't waste time trying to give you origin stories or nothing. They went straight into the jails, you know, getting these people. You have the Michael Rourke's, you know, character being recruited. And then, mm-hmm. you know, you show his little brief journey. And we meet up with all the other characters, and I just love their subtle introductions as
they pan. Yeah, see, that's how you fucking do it, right? Like, if we're having, like, a sequel,
yes.
not really, or, like, we're reintroducing something.
Yes.
Honestly, this concept, you don't have to fucking, you don't have to, like, hold my hand. You're showing me what's happening. Even if I'd never seen the first one.
Yes.
You come into this one, and you're like, oh, I see what they're doing. They have a task force. They yes. have a this. It's not that bad. But they also make it fun. So you can reiterate some information to me, but, like, inter-fucking-tain me, man.
And it was a well-known thing, you know.
When right.
Viola Davis shows up, and he's like, I'm not joining your goddamn Suicide Squad. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, that's good. I like that, you know. So
he deserved what happened to him.
Because he killed that bird.
Yes.
My daughter was like, ah. I was like, yeah. It looked real too. So
yeah, I was like, no, I don't like that.
So he shows up, and it's just subtle things like mm-hmm. There's a part where they show what is his name, Pete Davidson playing Blackguard, touching his guns next to the guard, like,
yeah, you know? Yeah.
And I'm like, it's little shit like that I'm like, that's hilarious.
Yeah, because that's funny. And also, like, I like that there's always been a range. They all tend to be a little bit on the more, like, loose cannon, I would say, yes. side rather than controlled.
Yes.
Because, obviously, like, Bloodsport is, like, more of a controlled person.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then, like, you have, like, you know, these other people who are just, like...
Yeah, and we're the best...
the rails.
The best part is, he's not even in it. They fooled you with this... You know, these people look so bad. They look like
yeah.
Jupiter Rising, you know?
Yeah.
They get on this plane, and so we got Sergeant Flag. He's back. So I'm thinking this is going to be something else to this movie, and they're going to add different characters later. They get dropped off in a Quarter Maltese, and if you know anything about DC Comics, this is the same island nation that's responsible for World War III in the Dark Knight Returns comic book. And so they get off in Tiff. Oh, my yes. God. So, you know... Waller's people are hilarious, betting on who's going to die first. I said, what a bunch of pieces of shit, you know. And they get dropped off, and the Weasel, which is strange. I don't even know this character.
I'm so glad that Weasel goes away.
So you don't have to look at him?
There was something weird about him that I didn't care for.
I mean, he was ridiculous. He drowned. It was kind of sad when he drowned. I was like, God damn.
You know what? Okay, I didn't quit. I didn't care for that. But then there was just like, here's the thing. I thought, if I'm going to have to watch the rest of this movie with this.
It's going to be hard.
Animated furry turd, I'm not gonna make it.
It's gonna be, especially when he's like, yeah, he's killed nothing but 21 children. You're like, oh
yeah, you're like, oh yeah. And then I was really, actually, now that you say that, when they said that, I was like, oh no, am I gonna have to, like, see
him something
like children violence towards children in a way that I don't like?
Well, I'm thinking, I hope they don't make this person who killed 21 children an endearing character.
The likable, anyway. Yeah, the yes. likable person. Yes, yeah. Yes, so yes. anyway, so he's dead. Well, yeah. Okay, he's dead.
He's dead, and Tiff, they all go. And it's bad. Yes. And Tiff, they die in the most gratuitous ways you've seen in film. You're like, hot damn. I mean, the one woman who, Mongrel, who jumped on a helicopter and just was shaking it like monkey bars. She goes down, she's burning up. They all getting killed. The Michael Rourke character, he takes off. He's the, what, savant? He dies bad.
Yes, yes.
And you're like, what am I watching here? You know, and Harley is alive, who comes in. And I love how, I was surprised to kill Boomerang, but I wasn't mad because his character.
I was surprised, but also, like, I kind of, like, I was like, okay, that's, like, a nice, it's kind of, like, a nice way to be, like,
getting rid of the character without, you know, yeah.
Right. Yeah. I kind of liked it. When I first saw it, I was upset, but I was like, well, we don't need anything from the past, right?
Well, so right. Harley. They got rid of him and Harley. I like how there was a familiarity, like, you know, when she showed up on the plane, he's like, you back and you got locked up again. But I was surprised when they did 3 days earlier. And I was like, when I found out that Waller sent her number one boy, Colonel Flagg, as the decoy team. It's like, damn, that's a cold motherfucker. Tiff, she cold.
Yeah.
So little do we know, there's a Team A, you know, that we knew nothing about that has these other characters in it. And such a great twist, Tiff. Such a great twist. How did you feel about that?
I was like, oh, are we going to like... But I thought they were going to like trick me into watching like another... And they kind of do. Like, they take you away from Harley, which is actually kind of a nice move. Because you're like, oh, okay, now I'm going to, like, have all these other people that I... Because we already like Harley, even if she's not in the movie very much, or if maybe that's a draw for them. She is in the movie, but, you know what I mean? They make you like, oh, now I like these people.
Oh, my God. So we get introduced to the Idris Elba character, Bloodsport. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I laughed so hard when his conversation with his daughter in that jail cell... it was so believable. It didn't seem like theater.
I was like, yep, okay, yeah. Somebody has a daughter.
I mean, he mad.
So whoever wrote this was like, I remember.
You goddamn right. Somebody got a daughter. Right. He mad because she got caught buying or stealing something so ridiculous.
Stupid.
Right.
Stupid, yeah.
Oh, man.
Really good.
That interaction between him and that actress was so good. I was like, this is great. I mean... It was good, Tiff. So she threatens the daughter. Waller has to be the most coldest person in comic book and movie history because she don't give a damn. And Viola Davis, she just pulls it off so good. So we get introduced to the shark, who instantly I like, you know, even though he's going to eat people, you know, and he looks so ridiculous that it looked good on screen.
He does look ridiculous, but it's also not so bad. The only, you know, there's a little bit of in certain scenes where I'm like, oh, it looks a little out of place, but like, it's really not as bad as you'd think when you see it.
And right. And they did it and they gave him such a look that it was fine for it to look like, you know, whatever at some point. Yeah. You know, you're like,
I would agree with that.
I don't mind it. And the, you know, the big surprise for me, I love how they gave John Cena's character Peacemaker and Bloodsport the same origin story. I was like, James Gunn is a goddamn genius, man. I mean, it's just like, wow, this is really, really good. I mean, you don't see stuff like that. And then they got this competition, and it's so good. I mean, so let's get to the village. They get to the village, right?
No, I don't want to talk about the village.
What you want to talk about? Go ahead.
You know, when they are in the fucking theater, they're like, you know, having a briefing.
Yes.
And the shark, King Shark, raises his hand, and he's like, hand. And then she's like, yeah, good job. And then Idris Elba says, we're all going to die. And then Polka Dot Man says, I hope so.
Oh, God. The poor
and
Polka
then,
Dot.
And then Peacemaker, and then Lisa, and then and then Bloodsport says, Jesus fucking Christ. Mike looked at me in the fucking movie and was like, is that us? I said, that is 100% us. If you want to know what our relationship is like... That microcosm conversation of the Polka Dot Man and fucking Bloodsport is us.
That's y'all, love. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I hope so.
You know, once they got rid of all the first characters, there wasn't a weak link amongst any of the writing or anything with these characters. Go ahead.
Ratcatcher 2?
Yes. Blah. Yes. Yes. 100%. Because when you first saw her, I was like, oh, boy, I'm not so sure about this character. But it was so well done. Her arc was well done. The actress was so well done. And it just rolled. And so then we get to this. One of my favorite scenes was the village. Because they having this competition. And I love when he's like, you know, trying to, you know, show off isn't cool. And he's like, it is when it's dope as fuck. I'm like, oh, God,
yes, it was so good. That reminded me of you, actually. I was like, holy fuck. So there is, like, a part where he just walks. There's, like, a person, like, sleeping or something like that. And then he just, like, stab.
Oh, he stabbed the shit out of him. He stabbed the shit out of him. It was stuff like that in his thing. It just had you like, ha! He just stabby, 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 stabby. It just kept moving like it was nothing. Just,
yeah, I was like, that's the kind of shit I like to see in a fucking movie.
Oh,
and the reason why isn't necessarily for the violence. I'm talking about in any, but I mean, yes, I love violence, but like I'm talking about in any movie where there's like a small detail that like that is barely anything that's happening in the movie, but it drew my fucking attention because it's interesting.
Yes, but it couldn't have been better done when they found out that it was, they killed all the bad, the wrong people. And I was just like, oh, and the look on everybody's face, it was like, ah, and they killed the shit out of them, Tiff. So it was,
they really did. Was bad. People were exploding and shit. And then I just like that because everyone has had that moment at their job where they're like, did you send those postcards? And you're like, yeah. Like three days ago I did that.
Right.
And then you have to like drive down and pay with your own money to express ship them. You know what I mean? Like
yeah, it was bad, Tiff. So, you know, what, Harley, she's captured, and you know, it was kind of spoiled by the trailer that she was in this thing.
Didn't know what she was doing in
there,
though.
My God. So she's getting married, she's feeling great. And I don't think anybody in the world could have been more surprised when she shot him the way she did and was talking about
I loved every moment of this.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
First of all,
bad choices.
This is our first part of talking about being horny during Suicide Squad. This guy's hot.
Yep.
And they boned down.
Yeah. Yeah. It went down. They tore up the damn room, tore up all the antiques, you know, as they should, you know. And I'll tell you one thing that didn't ruin this movie was I'm so glad they never even mentioned the Joker, you know, not even one time. And so it was like perfect. So they go to the screw fest. Lo and behold, when she shot his ass, you know, was talking about she's red flag. I was like, what? It was so good. I didn't expect it. I didn't see it coming. It got my ass. I was like, wow, this movie is really doing some things that I haven't seen in a long time. And that's a predictable superhero movie. Really, really making turns that you would have never seen coming at all. Yeah. In any of these scenes, you wouldn't have seen any of this stuff coming.
It's great because then, okay, they're turns, but they're not like, I don't know how to just describe it, like a malicious or treacherous turn where like, you've been played as an audience member. No, yes. Because once it happens, you're like, oh, okay, that kind of fits though. Like, I didn't expect it, but it's not like it doesn't make sense.
Absolutely. Like Polka Dot Man, every time they kept showing him with the women.
Oh my God.
With his mama's face.
I felt that shit was fucking weird, but it was also weird in a way that I was like, it informs a certain kind of way, but I was like, this is just weird enough, right?
It was highly entertaining, and it didn't cross the line, you know what I'm saying?
When he was like, I'm not a bad person. And they're like, will you kill a bunch of people? He was like, I just imagine they're my mom.
He was like, yeah, really effed up, but let's move on. You know,
I'm sorry, I just love him so much.
Yeah, he was good, and, you know, that was one of the few characters, villains in this movie who I had, you know, past knowledge of, you know, because a lot of these people, I didn't know who the hell no Javelin was or, you know, some of these other people. Cause I, you know, when I was younger, I was a Marvel guy, you know, and then when I got older, I started reading both comics. So a lot of these people like Savant and stuff like that, even Bloodsport, I had minor, you know, recollection of who he was. I just want to go back real quick to the Nathan Fillion character playing TDK with slapping the people with the arms detached, and then his ass was sitting there hollering when he was getting shot up. It was like, oh God. Anyway, let's move forward.
I'm sorry. There's just when you love something or you enjoyed something, it's so you can go on too long.
Yeah, yeah, and that's why I'm trying to move forward. So
I'm sorry. This I feel like it's my fault.
No, it's not. So the introduction of Starro couldn't be perfect. So they put Starro in the movie, and I'm like, okay, it looks like that in the comic book and behave like that in the comic book. But I was nervous for the movie because I was like, it took the Justice League in the comic book to kill, you know, to defeat Starro. But they introduce these characters and, you know, they infiltrate, and this whole bumbling idiot routine with the two teams with, you know, the poor shark meeting the little buddies who end up being the most scariest thing in the whole goddamn movie. And... and, you know, them going downstairs and upstairs and them rewinding the clock, showing you what happened.
Yeah.
It was so genius to me. I was so entertained because the explosion happens. And so I had forgot that the explosion had happened. You know, you just assume something happened. But the mere fact that Gunn decided to take us back and show us exactly what these idiots were doing that caused this premature explosion was great to me. I don't know. How did you
feel? I like that. I like the way that he, like, because in a lot of movies that does, you know, stuff is happening in the background.
Gets a little tropey sometimes, but go ahead, yeah.
But no, I like it. I also like that he includes his little titles.
Yeah, all in the fire or on the grass.
I like those, or on the button.
Yeah.
Now, I want to talk about the fact that I thought, and I want to see what you think, because this is part 75 of Horny on Patrol, where I ask you a question. So Harley and Flag, they're in the fucking van. Did they not seem like they were going to fuck?
I didn't pick that up.
Some of us have a problem.
Yeah, I didn't pick
not
that up.
Not all of us, only some of us. Because they were like having like a romantic moment, and I was like, oh, are they going to switch this to a romantic, like a romantic thing between them? And then nothing ever comes of it, and then of course we know what happened.
Well, she was digging on Javelin on the plane, you know.
Maybe she's just horny. Which is fine.
It was the accent. She loved Javelin's accent.
And
then the other guy,
and then
he had an accent.
American people have them.
Right. And
that's true.
And then she ended up liking a dictator because he had an accent, you know. But then he started talking about, you know, killing kids and shit. And, you know, she just shot the shit out of him. So, no, I didn't pick up nothing. And what I really liked about it is that.
You guys, at Tifflebot, if you felt like there was sexual tension.
Maybe I missed it. Maybe I missed it. I didn't feel any sexual tension. So, you know, the rats was disgusting. You know, they all over the place.
I like them.
And they attack Starro and, you know.
Okay, there is one thing that we need to add that I.
When
all those little things come out of its armpit.
It's disgusting. It's disgusting. Yeah.
I think I'm going to get sick right now.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. But I tell you.
I can feel the heebies on my back.
To me, what was worse than that, though, was that dungeon with all the people like cut in half and the star getting ripped off the guy's face. And it was bad. It was bad.
There was like some things in this movie where like people, and I guess like for me, violence can be really like that for some people where like any kind of violence is just like makes them feel nauseous or whatever.
It was ultra
violent. Probably you're more human than me. I get it. But there were some things that like I have that disorder where you don't like to see things that have holes in them.
So does my daughter. Yeah.
Makes me feel nauseous to the point of like, ugh. And that's kind of what it was like.
With the flaps opening and all the.
Like part of me, like I really actually want to watch this movie again, but that is so disgusting to me that it kind of makes me scared.
Yeah, just close your eyes on that part, you know.
I know, but then I know I'm going to see it before I get my eyes closed.
So. King Shark can take more beatings than anybody. I mean,
I wanted to ask about that. Is it bulletproof skin or what?
Well, sharks are damn near bulletproof. I mean, their skin is so hard. You can't stab them.
Sharks?
Yeah. Real sharks.
They're bulletproof.
They're not bulletproof, but I'm saying they're damn near. Their skin is super, super tough and rough. I mean,
that is the funniest fucking thing you've ever said.
Yeah, their skin is so.
I do know that it's like, tough. I heard that if you swam backwards against a shark, you can get like.
Oh, it'll cut you. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's like sandpapery.
Yes, it's very hard. And so him being a mutant half man, half shark
that kind of makes sense actually. Like whatever mutated you has caused you to be.
Right.
That makes sense.
You would be a hybrid of both. And so the building falls on him. The vehicles fall on him. He gets exploded. Another building falls on him. He falls out of the building. Woo, he getting his ass whooped. And I thought the creatures took him out. The little ones with the sharp teeth.
Yeah, I thought. See, because they pulled him underwater. I was like, oh, here's our next death. Is they're just going to rip him to shreds.
Yeah, and then Polka Dot Man gets blown up talking about, I'm a hero, poof, you know.
No, I wanted him to come back.
Oh, he was messing me up with those when he was getting all swole up and stuff like that. I was like, oh, God, ugh. So anyway, but his power actually ended up being kind of dope, man. You know, he had a lot of destructive capabilities and stuff. And Idris Elba just chewed up the scene every single time.
And I love his helmet. It's so much cooler.
It was pretty dope, and you know he was much cooler than Will Smith's character.
He was so cool. Like I mean, like I don't mean to like be like, wow though, because like when you're gonna be cool, you gotta be cool. Like you can't like backstep it or like be soft on it. He's hard when he's talking to his daughter. He's hard when he's being soft on that girl who reminds him of his daughter.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he told her.
And then eventually, he does pet that rat.
Yeah, and it was all. awkward the whole time. It was nothing tender about it. It was like, oh yeah, you did it. The rat loved his dirty bath water though, and even the damn rat had personality. It was so well done.
It's the Rocket Raccoon.
Look, I had no issues with this movie at all. I'm you know, even to complain about something, because even the things that might have fell through the cracks, the movie took itself seriously and did ridiculous things doing it. And I mean, how could you complain about this movie? John Cena actually blew my mind with his performance. He was so
That's
good.
What I was gonna say.
He was so good
in the movie. I was like, because I mean, I don't know that like this is probably not much far off from maybe how he would talk as a regular person.
Yeah.
But I mean, not like what he would say, but like how he would act or whatever. But it's just so different than how horrible Fast 9 was, or F9, or whatever you want to say.
Look at him.
That like I was, when I saw him, I was almost like, no, that isn't him. And I was like, no, yeah, that is him.
He was perfect. And look, he's perfect walking around with a ridiculous shirt on.
And just being a jackass.
And a ridiculous helmet. How about when the building fell and he came out and his shirt was all small? it was like a little halter top over. I was like, little stuff. It's the little stuff in this movie that's great. Look, bravo to Mr. Gunn here. What is it? John Gunn? Is that his name? James Gunn.
Right. Sean is his brother. Who, by the way, I do know who he was. He was the guy that was making fun of the guy. He was in that prison. He was bald. He was making fun of the guy for...
He was also
being
Weasel.
Taken to Suicide Squad.
He was Weasel too.
So. He's not really Weasel.
Well, he did all the body work for it. So
you need a body work to jiggle around like a tube full of water.
So I guess. Well,
whatever. Okay, fine. It's fine.
Weasel. He was Weasel. He was, you know. Anyway.
Wow. Okay. Well,
Weasel's not dead. If you stuck around and watched to the end, you know.
Yes.
The Weasel got up and is gonna eat all the children what's left on an island. You know, which. Quite a few people, because they had that city in the background when they were like, you know, because they only tow up the ghetto, Tiff. You know, they ain't go rummage through downtown. And so they killed the thing and it's over with. Bravo, man. I'm so highly entertained. And I watched it at home. And I wish I would have took my ass to the theaters to see it, to be honest with you.
I kind of agree with you. I might go back. But then, you know, it's not, you know, okay.
This was definitely meant to watch on a big screen. And
100%. Yeah. But what I mean is, like, I don't want to sit next to someone who's nasty. And I can't go during the day because I have, like, work during the day.
Well, they're still blocking off multiple seats at your theater, aren't they?
I don't know, man.
Because they're still doing it at the theater
I went to. It's Iowa. It's Iowa. We don't care here.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Y'all barely closed down the whole damn time, so.
I know. We want everyone we know and love to be dead.
Yeah. Anyway. So that's going to do it, man. I adore this, and I can't wait to actually see it again. You know, I started watching it without my daughter yesterday, which was a sacrilege. And then I saw how good it was, and I was like, oh, I better wait. So, man, you got two big thumbs up from us for this one, man. And I didn't see this coming. I didn't think this movie was going to be any good. I mean, I had hopes because of James Gunn, but, you know, you never know, you know. Trying to recover something from DC, you know. But go on, DC. Y'all got yourself a winner with this one. So there we go. So that's it, Tiff. We came to do the damn thing. We got it done. I'm the host of Fans Patrol. My name is Montego. With me is my dynamite, studious, sensitive co-host.
Sensitive. Yeah, that's me.
Miss co-host, Miss Tifflebot. Say goodbye to the people, Tiff.
It's been a pleasure as always.
We'll be back next week, y'all. So until then, we will be
on
Patrol.